Welcome to the Army Resilience Roundup podcast. I am your host, Lataria Walker. The Army can be a tough profession. Mix in additional responsibilities like leading troops, attending college, maintaining a home, parenting, keeping up with finances, basically living life. How can we successfully manage everything? How can we not just cope, but learn, grow, and thrive? Resilience. That's it. Resilience is the ability to persevere, adapt, and grow in dynamic or stressful environments. Resilience encompasses internal motivation, persistence, and how soldiers revitalize, recover, and adapt in order to respond constructively to challenges in their daily lives. Training and education empowers leaders and soldiers to demonstrate resilience. When individuals gain experience in applying these skills, it enables cohesive team building and drives readiness. The Army Resilience Roundup podcast is a place where you can find resources that will help you maintain your resilience. You are resilient. Welcome to the Army Resilience Roundup podcast, episode 6. I am your podcast host, Lataria Walker. Today, our guest is Dr. Lyle J. Hogue, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army, Equity and Inclusion. Our topic for today is DEIA and high-performing teams. Dr. Hogue will discuss the historical perspective of 75 years of integration in the Army, covering Executive Orders 9980 and 9981, which desegregated the federal workforce and the military. He will break down the implementation of those orders in 1978 through diversity efforts in the Army in 2021. He will also explain the definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the Army People Strategy to ensure that these concepts are carried out within the service. In addition, Dr. Hogue will discuss building high-performing teams through diversity and the WHO leadership model. He will make the case that effective leaders who build diverse teams create positive command environments, thus enabling units to be more successful at preventing harmful behaviors. Dr. Hogue, thank you so much for joining us today. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, thank you, Ms. Walker, and thank you to the ARD team that puts these podcasts on. You know, after joining the Army in the late 80s, I became an Army volunteer, became an Army recruiter, did a lot of recruiting jobs in Massachusetts around the Boston area, became a station commander, later went on to work in career counseling until my culmination of service as a sergeant major for retention at Fort Benning, Georgia. Later, I left the service, worked for IBM and Human Capital Consulting, and worked on a little project called the Army Career Tracker, which is still around today, helping Army civilians with their individual development plans. Came into Army service in 2009, working on the Secretariat for Business Transformation. Later worked for the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission, otherwise known as MCRMIC, where our team brought Department of Defense the blended retirement system that went into effect in 2018 for all 2.1 DoD service members. I then returned to the Pentagon, working at the ASAMNRA, doing various strategy documents and implementation plans before January being asked to fill in as the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Equity and Inclusion. And that's where I am here today with you all on this podcast.
Well, sir, what an impressive career. Thank you for your commitment to this very important endeavor. Let's begin our discussion today. DEI and DEIA are becoming buzzwords, you know, these days. Lots of organizations are moving in that direction. What and why is DEI important in the Army?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So providing our soldiers and Army civilians, you know, access and opportunity to optimize their talents and also to enable 21st century leadership competencies so that we can pursue high-performing and cohesive teams is essential to our Army and national security of our nation. Really, it boils down to leaders knowing our people and knowing their unique attributes and characteristics to empower them as valued members of a team, using their qualities and skills to build readiness and support mission requirements of the Army.
Thank you, sir. What are the primary goals or objectives of the DEI agency?
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, a little over a month, I think, sitting in the chair here, and my predecessor, Mr. Anselm Beach, did a great job in his time as the DASA for E&I. And so I was handed over a great team of professionals and leaders in this area. I'd like to just start by stating what our agency does for the Army. I currently serve as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Equity and Inclusion under the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. And in this capacity, my agency is responsible for promulgating command policy on all matters covering civil rights, equal employment opportunity, military equal opportunity, and then diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. I'm also appointed as the senior advisor to the Secretary of the Army on all matters covering diversity and inclusion. And in this capacity, we have five DEIA strategic goals that are implemented along the lines of effort found within the Army's people strategy that was published in 2019. And those are to acquire talent, develop talent, employ talent, and retain talent. So to ensure Army-wide compliance and implementation of that Army people strategy, to enhance leaders' abilities to understand their organizations and assist with getting after three of the current Secretary of the Army's objectives, which are build positive organizational climates, reduce or prevent harmful behaviors, and strategically adapt retention, we have five DEIA goals. Enhance mission readiness. You know, all that we're doing in DEIA in our agency is about enhancing the mission, the readiness of the Army mission. Second one is sustaining leader commitment and engagement to what we're trying to do in developing leaders. We're also enhancing training and education in this area so that leaders can lead diverse teams. We're maintaining the Army as the employer of choice, and we're building and sustaining an Army-wide inclusive culture. So those are the five DEIA goals that we have out of our agency that supports the Army people strategies, lines of effort to acquire, develop, employ, and retain talent.
Thank you for that answer, sir. So you mentioned the Army people strategy. Can you talk a little bit more about that and let us know exactly what that is?
Yes. So, you know, it's a little hard to believe, though, but three or four years ago, 2019, the fall of 2019, the Army was without a strategy to actually kind of guide where we wanted to go, you know, with our people. And so back then we sat down and we penned out a strategy that set a course, laid a vision, if you will, to acquire talent. Acquiring talent touches on things as important as market and how we're going to market to different segments of our nation. The recruiting aspect of that, and then onboarding those young people onto the Army. Develop people's how we're going to train and educate and credential them. Employing them speaks to how we're going to use that talent correctly, utilizing knowledge, skills, and behaviors, and also their preferences. And then lastly, how we're going to retain all of that talent, because we are in a war for talent with industry, with academia. And so the people strategy laid out a vision of how we're going to do that. Now, we had to sit down after we did the strategy. And in 2020, even with the pandemic of COVID-19 happening all around us, we had to sit down and write out implementation plans. So we wrote two that year. We wrote a civilian implementation plan and we wrote a military implementation plan. And those plans were 2 years long. They went to 2022. And last year, all of the teams sat down and we wrote both a civilian and military implementation plan 2.0, if you will, that pushes us out to 2025 with tasks and objectives and milestones on those four lines of effort.
Wow. So we know that the first executive orders to integrate happened sometime in the 40s. How has DEI grown in importance since that time?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really good question. You know, when you think back to President Truman signing Executive Order 9980 and 9981 that integrated the federal government and the military, things were very different back then in our nation and, of course, in our military and in our Army. You would have all Black units, you would have all white units, and we have come a long way. You know, when that was signed in 1948, that executive order, we had six African-American colonels in the Army. And so, you know, through the years and many, you know, journeys of different people, you often hear of leaders of color talk about how people before them laid the course for them. And that kind of journey has come a long way. To our most recent accomplishment, if you will, having General retired and Honorable Lloyd Austin, the first African-American Secretary of Defense, with us as we speak today.
So here at ARD, we talk a lot about unit cohesion and team building. How does building diverse teams improve the Army workforce?
Well, you know, diversity in itself, you know, will not improve the Army workforce. Along with diversity, we have to have inclusive and effective leadership that maximizes the talent and builds cohesion in those diverse teams. So, you know, yes, we know that diversity will come. That is a simple outcome of our nation becoming more diverse. We have population groups that are growing at faster rates than others. We have opened up the Army and the military to women in all roles. And so the Army, by virtue of the nation becoming more diverse, the Army will become more diverse. But it really boils down to effective leadership and cohesive teams in themselves. When they're led by effective leaders, that builds cohesion, they're critical for success in today's organization, both in office settings, if you will, or on isolated, confined, extreme environments. Teams, in particular diverse teams, pool diverse knowledge and skills, allowing for convergent and divergent thinking, which are the building blocks of creativity and knowledge generation. Teams also provide a source of backup and assistance for overworked or underskilled team members and can be a source of positive affect and increased morale. Cohesion, though, is a piece of this, is a shared bond or attraction that drives team members to stay together, to want to work together, and is essential for teams. And so, you know, but I circle back when we talk about diversity, we cannot unlink it from effective leadership that takes advantage of that and leverages that diversity to build cohesion and a high performing team.
Wow, that's a really good answer. And it leads right into our next question here. What are the signs of a really good, diverse, high performing team?
You know, I often say, you know, some of this, you know, I don't say it's pie in the sky or, but I mean, really, we probably have seen some examples of ineffective teams along the way than we have effective. But just a couple off the top of my head. One is all the members on an effective team, they share a vision about how they're operating as a team. There's less self-interest and more team interest on a highly effective team. An effective team that's cohesive, they join group activities such as sports and meals and off-duty activities. There's a real togetherness, a brotherhood and sisterhood together with that. They act to promote togetherness. You know, as soon as any kind of schisms or problems in the group might appear, or if they feel morale is dropping, they show appreciation and concern for each of the team members. You might be in a team where when it's your birthday, there's balloons all around your desk that day, and they just kind of shower you with like accolades, you know, when you do a job well done. They act as a team instead of individuals, and they take pride more in the team's accomplishment than in individual accomplishments. And last but not least, I'll say, you know, that they emphasize the commonalities among the members, the diverse members, rather than the characteristics that could cause subgroups to form. You know, all of that is on diverse teams, obviously, right? There's differences. But what they focus on is the commonalities and the things that the team can all have a shared identity with. And those will continue with that effective leader to become an effective team.
What impact do you believe these teams that we're speaking about of today will have on the Army of 2030?
Yeah, this is always a great question. I like talking about it because I'm always thinking about the future. And if you think about people who are in our Army right now, you know, junior to younger folks, they will be the leaders in the Army of 2030 and beyond. So the things that they're seeing in their leaders, they're going to emulate. If it's counterproductive, we're going to kind of identify that and show them a better way to do that. You know, our plan is for them to be effective team leaders. And if you really think about kids that are in middle school and junior high are going to be the soldiers and employees of the Army in 2030 and beyond. And DEI efforts, you know, that we're investing in now, you know, will not only affect the Army, and those who may eventually join it, but are heavily impacting how the Army is perceived throughout society. So we want the public to see how we're valuing diverse populations, to see how we want a safe, productive environment for people. A lot of studies around that shows people prefer or state that DEI programs were a positive factor in the reason or why they desire to join an organization. So we feel we're on the right path with effective leadership, cohesive teams for the Army of 2030 and beyond.
Wow, very future focused. So let's switch gears a bit and let's have you explain to us exactly what the WHO leadership model is.
Yeah, again, I have to kind of credit my predecessor who, when, you know, the very emotional summer that we had in 2020 in our nation, he began with his team, the E&I team, going around the world, having Your Voice Matters listening sessions. And as he started listening to information of what was coming in, you know, he kind of tagged some of these comments in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we will always want, you know, people to operate at the top of the Maslow hierarchy of needs, which is, you know, self-actualization, where we have, you know, people who are just at the top of it. But what we found in these Your Voice Matters listening sessions is that people were having issues or little challenges with the bottom level. So psychological needs, safety needs, love and belonging needs, and esteem needs, you know. And so what he wanted to come up with, and I think very successfully he did, and then he kind of took this out on a roadshow in the Army, was to come up with a quick kind of leadership primer, if you will, of how to become a better leader. And so he created this, you know, WHO, WHO leadership model, and they stand for, and this stands for, who are your people? You know, what makes them tick? As a leader, you should understand in your small team or a group of people who work for you, what makes these people tick every day? What aspects of their culture and background, traditions, religion, make them who they are? You know, that's really getting to know your team members very well. H, how do they show up? You know, what kind of personality do your subordinates have? Are they introverts or extroverts? You know, something to motivate employee or soldier A may not and probably will not work for soldier B or employee B. So what makes, you know, that person really, how do you, as a leader, get the best out of them? And then lastly, what do they offer? And this goes to knowing the skill sets of everyone and the level of it and how you can offer development, but also, you know, what skills and abilities and attributes they have, which can enable success of your team and make it effective and thus make it cohesive, right? Because everyone is contributing to the team's mission. So I would love to be able to kind of take a little bit of credit for this, but this is my predecessor. And, you know, I have to say, you know, and comment that the Army doctrinally just about 4 months ago published FM 6-22 called Developing Leaders. And I would encourage anyone who wants to learn how to become a better leader to get this book. It's online. You can Google it and or, you know, get it from your printing shop. But the first chapter of this, it speaks about developing leaders and particularly building cohesive and effective teams. Mr. Beach was on to something. Now we have it in Army field manuals and doctrine, the importance of, you know, effective leaders building cohesive, effective teams.
So you mentioned contributing to the mission. What actions can lower enlisted soldiers take to promote DEI efforts within their own units? How can they contribute?
You know, number one is, you know, an open mind towards being an effective team member, right? So, you know, they've got to learn kind of just coming into the Army if they had never been part of a team, you know, to be part of that team, to contribute, to speak up as to what their skill sets are, to be honest with the leader about various things, you know, what they like, what they don't like, all of that so that the leader can register the total team's inputs and outputs. So I think that's very important. And then just an appetite to learn as they go along in their own development, the importance of DEI, the importance of all their teammates. You know, before you can lead a team, you really need to be a good team member. You really can't skip that step, right? So we bring people in and they're usually a team member and then they become leaders of teams. And so I would point to being a great teammate and learning how to become an effective leader.
On that note, Dr. Hogue, we're still talking about leadership here. What is the impact of leadership that embraces DEI initiatives?
Well, number one, you know, you're going to have a group of people who feel they belong, feel they're included, and you're going to get the best out of your team when you have that. You know, that impact is the difference between an effective team and an ineffective team. And really, that's where we're going with DEIA as a whole. You know, the Army acknowledges that our force, as it becomes more diverse, you know, is going to need to adapt and modernize leadership. And this is one of the driving factors behind a lot of what we're doing now in talking about these kind of themes in relation to DEI. We just need to kind of keep with this message, keep pushing it across the Army, the connection between effective leaders with DEIA and cohesive and effective teams.
Are there any particular resources the Army workforce should be aware of regarding DEI?
Absolutely. We have a website that I can point everyone to, www.army.mil/Army Equity and Inclusion. There's a host of benefits and information that people can link into and read up and learn and study on that website. A lot of information and resources there.
Thank you for that answer. Dr. Hogue, in closing, if you had to choose one takeaway you want the target audience to receive from our conversation today, what would that be? And please at this time offer any final thoughts or closing remarks that you may have for our listeners.
The big thing, and we're on kind of a roadshow to get everyone on kind of the same page, because there's a lot of talk about this right now. But for the Army, diversity isn't about a number. It's not about any particular group or representation. It's about building high-performing, cohesive teams and leading them very well. You know, when we enlist people into the Army. They come in through our officer accessions channels. You know, there's no counting any particular representation. Everyone comes in and we start developing people. And so it's not about a number. You know, it's about their unique attributes and characteristics that each of those soldiers and civilians bring to empowering our teams and being valued as members of a team and using their qualities to build readiness and support of the mission. I can't say enough in closing that the whole purpose of the DE&IA mission and existence is to build Army readiness. The Army exists to protect our nation and to be ready to fight tonight. And DEIA contributes to that mission by having cohesive, effective, high-performing teams that can carry out any mission anywhere.
Dr. Hogue, thank you for joining us today and sharing this very important information with our listeners. Thank you, listeners, for listening, and have an amazing day.
Thank you for joining this month's Army Resilience Roundup podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please continue to follow the Army Resilience Directorate on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, stay resilient.